There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is a pretty startling move. The California University System decided to derecognize 23 campus chapters of the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship group called Campus Crusade for Christ. Now, the decision here is based upon the chancellor's executive order back in December 2011 stating, and I quote, "No campus shall recognize any student organization unless its membership and leadership are open to all currently enrolled students." And that would seem not only to edge out groups like InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, but a lot of other student groups. Joining us to talk about the derecognition of these 23 InterVarsity Christian Fellowship chapters by the California University System, Pastor Marcus Zill, Director of Campus Ministry and LCMSU for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Marcus, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Hey, thanks, man.
You were 16 years on a university campus as a campus pastor. Did you see firsthand the growing secularization of the university campus?
Well, that's a great question. Really, the last couple of decades, we've seen a huge shift. I remember the days when many admissions offices used to send people around first day of school on campuses and bring optional lists to all of the various campus ministries, recognized student organization or not, and you'd, as a campus pastor, would receive a nice little list of all those that signed up as being Lutherans on the little optional admissions form that asked what your religious preference was and made it optional, and they would actually bring this information to you. This was not uncommon for those that were in campus ministry back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, maybe even to the 90s. But the last 15, 20 years or so, not only are they not going out of their way to try to be helpful to those in campus ministry, but the universities are increasingly finding ways to make sure that we really don't have the same access as many others do in many other organizations.
Okay. What was your reaction when you heard about Campus Crusade for Christ basically being de-recognized in the California university system?
Well, I probably can't say my first reaction over the phone, but it's a family show after all. But no, I mean, this is a serious concern for all of us in campus ministry. We rely very heavily in our LCMSU chapters and other religious organizations to be on campus. If we're not on campus, if we don't have a place at the table, we don't have a place to seek out students. They can always find us. But this is really undercuts our ability to get on campus, to set up tables at student orientation fairs, to be able to have meeting space. For those that are familiar with organizations like Higher Things, which I had the privilege of helping to found our very first conference at the University of Wyoming when I was a campus pastor, we had a lot of free access because we used our recognized student organization to get space on campus. So there's a lot of goodies that you get by being on campus. And so my first thought was, wow, this is great. My second thought was, here we go again. This has happened before. I think it's Brandeis University, Vanderbilt University a year or so ago. There have been other forays into various administrations trying to do this kind of thing to limit access. And frankly, I was a little concerned that, you know, I wonder what InterVarsity did. You had mentioned up front that InterVarsity and Campus Crusade are actually two different groups. InterVarsity is one of the biggest interdenominational campus ministries. Crew is probably second. I might have that wrong. But Crew is actually backing up InterVarsity by apparently trying to push the envelope, too, so that maybe they'll get get the boots so that they can kind of join the fight. So this is that there's battle lines that are being drawn here. But you know, the bottom line is sometimes our campus ministries get themselves in trouble by drawing lines that they don't need to. And so I was a little interested to know if IV was kind of pushing the envelope or was the university. But the more I'm looking into it, the more I'm reading about it. I've been in discussions with folks at the Synod. The lawyers at the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod are a little bit concerned because this could have big implications for a lot of things. But the more I look into it, it looks like this truly is the university system in California pushing the envelope where they don't need to.
It's being reported that the decision taken by the California State University system to derecognize these campus chapters was based upon the December 2011 Chancellor's Executive Order. And again, I'll read it. No campus shall recognize any student organization unless its membership and leadership are open to all currently enrolled students. Is that a feasible way rule to apply to, well, really any student group, any recognized student group?
Well, no, it's not. And what's changed here, many of our campus ministries, in order to have student organizations on campus, have for a long time had to put disclaimers in there that the university provides that we won't discriminate based on sexual orientation, gender, creed, religion, etc. And of course, an InterVarsity hasn't been doing that. They have allowed anybody to be a member of their club as a campus pastor or any of our Lutheran campus ministries or LCMSU chapters. We allow anybody. You know, it'd be a wonderful problem to have a lot of different people from a lot of different backgrounds just dying to be a part of your student organization. That's what you want. What you don't want is for anybody to kind of come in and co-opt the mission of the organization. And so by the chancellor in the California State University system adding any member or leader has to be able to, you know, they basically, by adding that leadership clause, it kind of forced InterVarsity to have to make a decision. And, you know, kudos to them for standing by their creed and standing by their definition of who they are and what they're about. Basically, they had a choice. Are we really going to allow unbelievers or atheist groups or pagan groups on campus or LGBTQ groups on campus to come in and co-opt our group and be able to become leaders for our group? Or are we going to stand our ground? It's important to note that the InterVarsity is still on these campuses. They just have to pay for everything they get now. They don't have free and unfettered access. They have to actually pay. And so, this is very scary. I mean, obviously, it's true for any group. I mean, if you're an atheist group, do you really want a bunch of crazy Lutheran students coming in, co-opting your group and becoming the leaders of an atheist group on campus? Obviously, it changed the whole purpose for the group. And so really, in an attempt to probably try to make access hard for the Christian groups, and some of this is a little bit of retribution for some of the unpopular stances socially that Christian groups are willing to take on same-sex attraction, abortion rights, and some of these types of things, really it affects religious liberty across the board. It's just that it's kind of cutting really close to Christians up front.
Pastor Marcus Zill is our guest. We'll take a break when we come back, 10 more minutes with him, talking about the derecognition of 23 InterVarsity Christian Fellowship chapters by the California University System, the secularization of the university system generally, and, well, as he just said a few minutes ago, this is a kind of rule that can cut both ways. We'll talk about that after this.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another, and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Imagine SteadfastLutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300. We're talking about the derecognition of 23 InterVarsity Christian Fellowship chapters from the California University System. In plain English, that means that these student groups that are largely evangelistic, evangelical, and Christian are no longer permitted to have some privilege of place. They're going to have to kind of pony out some money if they want to use facilities. They're going to have to negotiate for a price on those things and not have the courtesy of using them free if available. Now, that's a minor inconvenience. It does raise the question whether or not they should just take it on the chin and go ahead and pay. It raises some other questions as well. I want to hear from you if you got a question or a comment. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Pastor Marcus Zill is our guest, Director of Campus Ministry and LCMSU for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. You raised something before the break that I'd like you to address, and that is groups like InterVarsity, other campus groups. I'm sure the campus groups that you led up there in Laramie, Wyoming, sometimes have to take what are considered controversial, unpopular, politically incorrect positions when it comes to marriage, family, human sexuality, life, protection of the unborn. Talk about how difficult that is, and why wouldn't it be a good idea for someone just to say, look, we're kind of here just to save souls and to give people Jesus. We don't need to be discussing those subjects. We don't need to be coming out on those subjects.
Well, again, that's a great question. And the bottom line is college is such an awesome opportunity for young people to confess their faith. Students at our campus ministries across this country are unsung heroes in many ways, willing to stand up for the truth. And at the same time, it's kind of a double-edged sword. On the one hand, you know, it's frustrating to try to move in and around the campuses and have an unfettered access to try to reach people and share the gospel with them. At the same time, it's all the more needed because this is happening. And so, I think it's an exciting time. I wish I could. I mean, one of the greatest things about being a campus pastor is I've always wished I could go back to college and do just that. Our young people have such great opportunities to do that, and frankly, they're itching to do it. And so, the more we can arm them with tools and kind of give them a toolkit of being able to kind of navigate these waters and to continue to grow in their faith, and that's why our campus ministries are so important. They have many, many opportunities to confess their faith on campus, and frankly, there's a lot of people, you know, campuses are places that are very gray. Very few things are black and white. And so there's a kind of this mush of confusion. And when we have the opportunity to have such a solid black and white, nuts and bolts, truth of God's word, kind of a spot-on message, it really resonates with those that are searching out there. They know something's not right, something's wrong, everything seems screwed up, everything seems so gray and murky, and then they have a chance to meet someone that has such a message that just cuts right to the heart of the core of our existence and our need for true law and gospel. And so it's an exciting time, and InterVarsity, at the same time that they're concerned about this, and we should be a little bit concerned about it, too, for our own LCMSU chapters out there throughout the Synod on our 180 campuses or whatever it is growing at these days. It's getting close to about 180. You know, we're a little bit concerned, but it just means that we have all the more reason to be there, because it's not just about saving souls. Obviously, we need to be on our campuses in order to keep our own young people from sliding out of the faith and reaching out to those that don't know Christ, which is increasingly more. But we have a tremendous obligation to not just give up the ground on the academic square and say, we'll let you secular progressives just have at it. In this incubator of ideas, you can just have full reign, and we'll just sit on the sidelines and say nothing. Now, we have the greatest message in the world, and we have a lot to say on the academic square, too.
You pointed out before the break that this is a kind of rule, at least the case of the chancellor of the California University System's decision to require that both the membership and the leadership be open to all currently enrolled students, regardless of what their beliefs or affiliations or affinities may be. That's a rule that can cut both ways. I'm wondering whether or not you can really simply apply this to groups like InterVarsity Press without saying, well, you know, we got to look at the Jewish men's group. We got to look at this group over here. We got to look at some of these LGBTQ groups and see whether or not their leadership is truly open to anyone, every single student on campus.
Well, and if you went through all of these clubs, you would find it all over the place. And there's no end to this. I mean, if they end up getting into a legal struggle on this, and frankly, I wouldn't mind seeing it myself, because I think the Supreme Court would shoot it down. Because, you know, what if the Lutheran group in Idaho decided to take over, co-opt the Jewish group on campus, and then all the Lutherans turn the Jewish group into a Lutheran group, okay? Or, you know, those in the chess club get overtaken by those that are wanting to promote checkers. At some point, you know, everybody has the right to, under the First Amendment, to associate with whoever they would like to, and these things are provided for on campus. Any student can develop and organize any kind of a club for any reason. And so ultimately, if you take that away by turning the InterVarsity club into a generic club of people that can't even confess anything, what's the point of having any club for any purpose anywhere? And so, you know, many of these things under the First Amendment were developed because it was precisely the minority groups on campus back in the day, 30, 40 years ago, the gay and lesbian groups, that they wanted to be able to have equal protection. And now it's, ironically, it's the Christians that are the ones that are now in the minority. But, I mean, we're keeping a close eye on this, and I want your listeners to know that the Synod, Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, I am convinced that we would, in the end, if there was legal action taking place, we will certainly do whatever we can to file amicus brief or whatever to try to support InterVarsity and others that are trying to fight for this kind of religious liberty. In fact, one of the things on my to-do list, in addition to paying attention to this, is to reach out to them to let them know that we're interested in being involved.
In the meantime, should InterVarsity and other perhaps affected groups, should they simply just be willing to pay whatever the fees they got to pay to continue to have the same level of presence in the California university system?
Well, I mean, I hope that there's not a lot of choice. They will lose all opportunity to reach out to people if they lose what they have. So they really don't have a choice. And I suppose, you know, I'm not up on whether or not they're thinking about taking legal action or not. I hope that somebody seeks to challenge this. But in the meantime, they really kind of cease to have a reason to exist if they can't do this. I know I had a note from a campus pastor today saying that, you know, the university was reaching out to them somewhere in Wisconsin for funds. And so they're... But the problem is now they have to spend all their time raising the money just to be able to do what any group can do right now. And it's fundamentally not fair.
Make the case that this isn't just a freedom of association, freedom of assembly issue, that this is a freedom of religion issue.
Well, you know, one of the things that we always try to promote All we ever want in campus ministry is the same access that anybody else has on campus. As a campus pastor, I would have supported the Jewish group on campus, the pagan group on campus, not in as much as I'm obviously a Christian pastor, but for their right to be there to express their views. We just want this to be applied fairly to everybody. And it's amazing how if we just stick with that principle, I mean, it's so fundamental, it gets right to the core of what it means to be America. And what it, you know, many of the founding values that our forefathers even brought to this country, there's really a lot at stake.
Finally, before we let you go, tell us a little bit about this national LCMS Campus Ministry Conference. It's called Taboo. That's going to be held January 5th through the 7th at St. Louis University.
Well, we're really excited. This is going to be the follow-up conference to the Unwrapped Conference that we had at St. Louis University as well about a year and a half ago. Taboo is going to be, we're going to kind of committed to tackling the issues that our college students are facing, and there's no bigger one than issues related to marriage and sexuality, especially issues with same-sex attraction. Polyamory's coming down the line. That's getting promoted all the more. And our young people, their eyes light up on campus when people dare to actually address this as the church, and they need to hear what their church has to say with this, to say to these kinds of issues. So what's taboo is that the world thinks that we're not supposed to have anything to say about it. We're saying no. You know, our boss is the one that has given us this incredible gift of marriage, and we're going to tackle these issues and have some straight talk about these things. So we're looking forward to it. January 5th through 7th at St. Louis University.
Folks, you can find out more about the Taboo Conference at the St. Louis University campus January 5th through 7th at lcms.org/LCMSU. That's lcms.org/LCMSU. Pastor Marcus Zill is Director of Campus Ministry and LCMSU for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Marcus, thanks for your time.
Hey, thanks, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss a event in history, actually a stage in history, called the Prussian Union, an attempt, a failed attempt, to force together politically, religiously, organizationally, two different confessions of faith in the Christian church in Prussia. That's why it's called the Prussian Union. It was a failed attempt. It was a bad idea. It had terrible results, still do have terrible results, but it also had some good results. We'll be talking about that with Dr. Martin Noland tomorrow on Issues Etc. We'll talk with cantor Kevin Hildebrand about choirs. Are church choirs a dying breed? And we'll continue our Christ in the Old Testament series with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. You know, we like to think of our universities, our public universities and colleges as one corner of that open marketplace of ideas. Well, when the marketplace is no longer open, then the number of ideas that are permitted in are diminished, aren't they? If this is supposed to be a place where ideas, thinking, the mind is formed for a future life and a future career, I say the best way for that marketplace of ideas to continue to function that way, for the good of all, is for it to stay open, open to all. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among His people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God is only $15.99. CPH.org.